My name is Matt Milner. I'm an instructor for Pluralsight. I'm also an independent consultant focusing on web development, but also connected systems, so workflow and BizTalk and all that fun stuff as well. And today we're going to talk about jQuery templates and data binding. And we're going to do that with just a little bit of history, taking a look at what's current right now, what you can do today, but also taking a look at the future and some things that are coming in this space, some things you want to keep an eye on, and some other things to watch out for. So my goal is to give you some ideas generally about templating and data binding, look at a couple of libraries that you can use today that are available, but also give you some sense of what's coming, some of the changes, and where to watch for these things as you begin looking into this type of technology. So we'll look at two libraries today, jQuery templates and data linking. And then we'll also, in terms of the future, we'll talk a little bit about two new libraries that are on the horizon called JS Render and JS Views that are kind of successors to the current libraries we have today. And we'll look at client-side templating of our JavaScript and our HTML, but also combining that. So it's one thing to be able to lay out a page and lay out your data on a page. It's another thing to be able to do true data binding in the JavaScript or the web space. So this is the little bit of history part. How many of you have been doing web development on the Microsoft platform for several years? Okay, good. It's forcing me to look up into the lights, which is interesting. How many of you did old ASP development? Excellent. I don't feel quite like the, you know, asking people if they did assembler or mainframe when I do that, but it's been quite a few years since we did that that kind of work. And so we've had ASP.NET come up over the years and really introduce a lot of people to web development, but also give us a lot of great tools to make web development easier. I'm surprised a majority of you in the room raised your hands for old ASP. I'm assuming I'm not so old that we are all talking about the old ASP. But you know, there was a lot that we had to do. Certainly we had, you know, ADO and things like that, but we didn't have a lot of the tools for generating HTML, for laying things out, or data binding. And so, you know, as we got into .NET, we got a lot of those tools, but people also started looking more for the client experience, wanting to build rich client experiences, having things work in the browser. And so Microsoft was building out their AJAX client library, right? The ability to do callbacks and postbacks to the server, the ability to have parts of the page be dynamic, and they were building up this rich client library. Well, at the same time, jQuery came along as a library to make it much easier for you to work with the document object model, the DOM in the browser, to select things, to manipulate things. And there came a time when Microsoft kind of realized over the last couple of years that, you know what, more and more people are using jQuery. Rather than try and rebuild and have a separate Microsoft client library for doing these sorts of things, let's join forces, let's leverage the popular library that all the cool kids are using. Let's use jQuery. So today, when you get Visual Studio, you know, and you go and build web projects, jQuery is right there alongside of that. Well, that didn't mean Microsoft was going to stop investing in client-side development and stop investing in JavaScript. And so Microsoft actually contributed several libraries to jQuery as official plugins, kind of through the same process that anybody else can do. And those included the templating and data linking that we'll talk about today, as well as a globalization or localization library or plugin as well. So these were templates that were provided by Microsoft, that folks at Microsoft worked on and submitted to jQuery to go through the process. Well, the first one we'll look at is jQuery templates. And the idea here is that on the client side, whether we're working with JavaScript objects that we've created in script, or we want to go out to the server and retrieve some JSON objects or JavaScript object notation, we want to query and get some objects, we want to be able to then create really nice, rich HTML leveraging that data. On the server, we have the ability to do data binding. We have the ability with whether it's ASP.NET, web forms, and the server controls and their data binding, or it's MVC with one of the view engines and the ability to lay out a really rich model where you can plug in data. We have all that on the server, but what we don't have is the equivalent on the client, where I want to be able to create these rich HTML markups with data kind of sprinkled in or interspersed in there. And so the jQuery templates plugin is something that allows us to do that same kind of templating or rendering on the client side. Now, it's available on the CDNs. You can download it and pop it in. It's even a NuGet package for Visual Studio, so you can pull it down through NuGet. And here's where we get into the current moving to future. Right now, it is available. It's technically marked as a beta, but I can tell you that a lot of very large sites are using it today. There are some large music sharing kind of online radio sites. There are some large webmail sites that are using this engine today. And because it's JavaScript and you can pull it down, you have all the source, so you can kind of tweak to your heart's content. But it is a very robust engine today. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit later about the futures and kind of what's happening with this particular plugin, but it is something that's available for us today. So let's take a look here. So what I have is just a simple MVC application. This could be HTML pages. I just happen to use MVC to support some of the later demos. And this is my main view. So just some Razor markup with a title, but mostly just HTML. And what I want to be able to do then is use this engine. So I've gone out in my layout here, and I've added in, I'm slightly out of date here, but I've got an old version of jQuery, and then I've simply added in this jQuery template script file. That's it. That's the plugin. Right, one JavaScript file that comes down. Again, you can use NuGet to pull that down and add it right in for you. And then all you need is this script tag. And a bit later, we'll talk about data link. That's also included here. So now that I have that script on my page, what I want to be able to do is take some data and put it into this this table that I have here. I want to add some table rows. So I'll go out and add a script tag here. So we'll come in and let's add a new a person here. So we'll give them a name. I'll do me, and let's do a hire date. And we'll do something like that. So we've got a person object out there that we can work with now. And normally, if I wanted to work with this this body, certainly I could use regular JavaScript. But many people today are using jQuery because it makes it easy to select items to manipulate that document object model. But without templating, I would have to do something like this where I'd go, well, I want to find that container. And then I might append to that something, you know, and I'd come in here and I'd start appending in, mixing in my HTML code and my person object and having to kind of do string concatenation to build up this HTML. And I want to avoid that if I can. So what I want to be able to do is create a template. I've got another script tag here, and this one I'm going to give an ID. We'll call that person template. And in there, I'm going to simply put my markup. So I'll put a table row. We'll put a table cell in here. And they're going to use a little markup to call out that I want to put out then the name. So I have a dollar sign, left curly brace, and a right curly brace here. So I want to use that binding syntax and put in here, right, a table row for that person, and I want to put the name in. Now I'm getting all sorts of little IntelliSense here telling me that it's got expected expressions. It doesn't really like my syntax here. And it doesn't like my script tag either. If we look at that, it's going to say it's missing the attribute type. Well, what type should this be? I don't want to make it JavaScript because it's not really. And if I make it JavaScript, what's the browser going to do? It's going to try and interpret it as JavaScript. It's going to look for variables. It's going to look for functions. It's going to try and run that. So I really want to avoid having the browser actually even pay attention to this until I run some script and I leverage it. So we use you can use a variety of things here, but it's fairly common to use this type because one of the nice things about modern browsers is if they don't understand something, they just ignore it. That's why we can have five different browsers in the market today and have all these websites, and lots of times you go to a site and it just doesn't work because it sees things it doesn't understand and it ignores them. We've that today a lot with some of the HTML5 things. Right? Different browsers have different support, but they don't just completely crash if you put a new HTML field in there. They're just not really quite sure what to do with it. And so this causes the browser to ignore this. So now I have a template here. And what I want to be able to do is select that and then call this template method and pass in the data. Now what that's going to do is go find my template. I'm using the jQuery selector here to go find my template item, call the template method and give it the data I want it to apply. And then I can pass in and say that I want to append that to the container. So I want to come down in here and I want to add that row. And clearly, my IntelliSense didn't work nearly as well as I thought it would. Oh. Because I forgot the key thing I might actually want to do, which is have a function in there. So that's my jQuery to go out and run this when the page starts. Oh, this is why I love JavaScript. Thank you. That's better. Let's expand that out. So, not very exciting, but there it is. There's my name now rendered in there. Right? So I'm able to get the template, pass it some data, and have it render that data out to the display here. Now, let's make this slightly more interesting. We'll have this be an array, so we're going to have myself, and then we'll just copy that. We'll add in another person here, so we'll call this Fritz. So now I have this array of people. I'm simply going to pass that in, the same mechanism, same template, but I'm going to pass in an array now instead of a single item, and the engine is smart enough to know, if you've given me an array, then I should go apply this particular template once for each item in the array. So I'm going to walk through that array that you gave me, run the template, render the contents in there as many times as I need to get that output. So we have a simple expression or field that we can put out. We use the dollar sign and the curly braces to call this out. It allows us to just take that data and put it into the output stream. But that's not very powerful. It's certainly a step in the right direction, but it just gives us basic data popping in there. And so we have this other series of tags that we can use that the templating engine understands. We have the notion of conditionals. If some particular condition is true, then I want you to output this content into the template. If it's, otherwise, use a different set of content. We can do an each. So I have a person, they may have a collection or an array hanging off of them. So I might have a set of a manager with a set of employees, or I may have a movie with a set of reviews or actors and actresses or something like that. And I want to not only show the main item, but I also want to iterate over that child collection and template that output as well. And then we have a few helper methods, or helper tags here, I should say, where you can call another template from the main template. We have the HTML tag to use. If my data actually contains markup, I may want to put that onto the page and not have it be encoded. I want to have that show up and render an image tag, or I want to have that anchor tag show up. And then the wrap is kind of a combination of the two above it. So I want to render another template, but it also has markup in it. So if we go back here, let's add in to our users here. We'll do technologies here. So we'll say favorite tech, and we'll give that array. And so for me, we'll do jQuery, and we'll also do we'll do workflow there. So now I've got another property, a collection property on my person. So now I've got a set of technologies that I happen to like. So we'll grab that and copy it. And Fritz is an ASP.NET guy. And we'll add in one more here. We'll add in Aaron. And Aaron is a guy who used to be technical, but now he's the CEO, so he gets to do all sorts of manager stuff. He doesn't get to have favorite technologies unless it's PowerPoint and Keynote and things like that. So we've got our collection of people. Let me save that. Just make sure I did introduce a typo. There we go. So we've got everybody there. So as we go and look at this template then, I've got my template and the people going in. But my template right now is very basic. I just have the name attribute here. So let's add in another row. And one of the downsides of this, of course, is if you're used to HTML IntelliSense, you're not going to get it inside of the script tag. So you may need to go and add this into the body if you really want that IntelliSense, and then paste it in here. So we're going to do the each tag, and I'm going to do each now over the favorite tech. So we could do an unordered list here, and then for each of those, we'll do a list item, and we'll do the name now. The name will be of the technology, not of the person. So now we should have an unordered list in there. And let me add one more thing, because our body didn't have that. So now we've got our name coming out. We've got our list of technologies. We're able to go and iterate over those with the each and show that data in line there in the table. But we've got Aaron down here who's feeling lonely because he doesn't have any technologies. So we want to come back and kind of change that around a little bit. So we'll say if favorite tech, and then we'll do this here. Otherwise, we'll say must be a manager. And we'll close the if tag there. So we've got conditions in here. We can do comparisons. We could check whether something's greater than or less than, equal to. We could even call a JavaScript function there if we wanted to. And then we've got our conditional output, just as you'd expect with the if and the else. I'll probably hear about this if Aaron ever watches this video. All right, so now we've got our if, our else. We've got our each over those things. Let's go back and look at one more item here. Let's add in a URL. Oops, for a single quote. So now I'm actually going to put an anchor page in here. So I've got a property called URL that's actually got some markup. We'll put both of these guys in there. And so if we simply go in and try and render that in our template, we want to add another column here. And we put that in, we're going to see that it doesn't do exactly what we want it to do. Right? Because the default behavior with that rendering of the expression is to make sure that it's safe HTML, to make sure that we have that data encoded so that it doesn't mess up our HTML. But right now, we've got this A link in there, this anchor tag, and it's not correctly rendering for me. So I need to go back and change that a bit. So I'm going to use the HTML tag to indicate, no, I actually want to take this property that I pass in and I want to render that as part of the HTML. So simply by doing that, now I get the home pages, and those will come up eventually. So with this, now we've got our template, we've got these placeholders we can pop in, we can call out to JavaScript if we want to, we've got the ability to do some conditionals, some iterations, we have our own little language for applying these things, and we can pass in either single objects or multiple objects here. Now, just as take it up a little step here, we can also, if we have a template, and here I might have a movie and just a title. One of the things I've mentioned is I can also call some JavaScript. So in this case, what I'm going to do is go to the server, just using jQuery to go out and get some JSON. I'm going to get back this collection of movies and apply the template. But when I do that, the release date that comes back is a mess, to put it simply. It's a jQuery, it's a rather JSON formatted date from the Microsoft back end. It's got slashes all over it, and it's just one big number in there. And so I need to format that to make it look right on the page. And so right inside of the expression tag here, I can call this format JSON date and pass in that value. And that's just a little helper function I have down here that's going to take that date, manipulate it a little bit, and give me the string output that I want to go and display that as a kind of the short date. So the only difference is, rather than having, you know, person objects or other objects here, I'm simply calling getJSON to get some data back from the server first. Then I take that data and pass that into the template method. So get the template, pass in the data, and append that to my container. So there you can kind of see the result of running that JavaScript function to be able to format the date. So we don't have to simply take the data off the object and just render it. We can actually manipulate it as we go as well. Okay. Does that make sense? Questions so far before I move on to something slightly different? Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yep. So the question was, what about if my list, like my favorite tech, wasn't just five things? What if it's 5,000 things, for example? And I don't want this template to render all 5,000. I want it maybe to do 100 of them. And then as I scroll down or I do something, I want it to go and load that. It's not built directly into the templates. So it was something you would have to do with your JavaScript. But essentially, you could, you know, as that trigger happens, you can use the same code, go grab those additional rows or those additional records, and then apply the template and simply append it to the end of your list. So whatever the trigger is, you can leverage that same template because if you pass it an array, remember, it will run for each item. So initially, your object may only hold the first 100. Then whatever the trigger is on your page, if they're scrolling or they get to a particular point, you would kick off your JavaScript, you know, your jQuery to go grab the next set of records, apply the exact same template, and just append it on to that list. So yes, you can do that, but it's work that you would do on your part, leveraging the templates rather than the templates having that built in. I expected somebody to have a question about, well, I've got this script, and now it's embedded in my page. What if I want to use that template on lots of pages? What if I want to use that template other places? You can actually take the template and put it into a file. The template doesn't have to be inside of the page, and you could use the jQuery get method to go out and retrieve that data, right, retrieve that string, essentially, of the template, and then pass that in and execute that. So I'm going to, you know, I'm showing them here in line in the page, but also the template itself can just be a string, right? It doesn't have to be called out in a script tag like this and be fully declared ahead of time. It can be a string that you take at runtime and pass into a template function. And because of that, that string could be retrieved from the server, right? So you could just do a get, get that data back, and pass that string in to do the templating as well. Okay. So one of the things we can do here is pull up. I have another page where I'm still going to use templates on the client, but I just want to show that you can use these things together. I talked about the fact that we can do all this data binding, we can do all this layout and stuff on the server, but you can mix and match these things. So here you can see my my Razor view or my ASP.MVC view. On the server, I'm actually going to render out some of the initial data. Right? When the page displays, I'm going to pass down, in this case, a bunch of movies, and I'm going to render those into the page. I'm also then, for each one, going to add, right, an on-click to that that indicates that if you click on that particular movie, then I want to go out and call a JavaScript function on the client side now and bring back some additional data. And so there, I'm simply going to empty out the container where I show the movie reviews and kick in and just leverage that same bit of code, right? Nothing new, nothing all that fantastic. Just want to show that you can leverage both the server-side templating and data binding for laying out initially and include that and combine that with the client side to be able to add that dynamic bit of flair, if you will, to your application. All right, so these things might all come back from the server. And then as we click on them, and I bet I made my page too big. I did. As we click on these, then we get the different reviews for those particular movies. Now, here's another example. How do you suppose I got the images to render differently the thumbs up or thumbs down for the particular reviews that were given here? We simply use that if statement again. So here we can see that comparison of I'm using the rating greater than 5. Well, in that case, I'm going to render a particular image tag. If it's not, if it's less than 5, I'm going to render a different tag. I'm going to render the thumbs down. So that's kind of a quick look at the templating side of things. We have the ability to take this data and render it out initially. But what about after we've rendered it? What about true data binding, where I have a JavaScript object and I have my user interface and I actually want changes to flow back and forth? Right? As my script changes the object, I want that to automatically reflect in the UI. Or as the UI changes my object. So as the UI, maybe I've got input fields or drop-downs that as a user changes those, I want it to automatically be updating my JavaScript object. So when it's time to send that back to the server or do something with it, all of the changes that have been made or the edits have been reflected in that JavaScript object. And that's where Data Link comes in. This is a separate plugin, but can work in tandem with the templates to link JavaScript objects together. Now, generally, that's a JavaScript object and some input fields, you know, some parts of the DOM, but you can connect objects to objects as well. Again, this was submitted by Microsoft through the jQuery process, kind of in the same state as the template model. Now, one of the things that I want to mention with the templates along with the data link is that the template model we've looked at is manipulating the DOM. Right? And the data link is going to work against the DOM as well. And so when we run those... where'd my function go? As we run these, remember we've been calling this append to function in jQuery. So we're appending DOM elements, or we're appending into the document object model new nodes. And those nodes have obviously, you know, the tags, they have the data rendered inside of them or as part of their body, but they also have additional data attached to them by the templating. And that information can be used as we look at data linking as well. So if we go back to our person here, we've got these people. Let's do a simple linking here. Oosh, that hurts to write that. H40. So I'm just going to do a single person here. And then what I want to be able to do is link that up to some form elements. So we'll come down in our in here, we'll just do, say this is linking. We'll do a form. And now I'll put a couple of input tags. And I'm going to give it a name. Let's make that something different than name, so we're not completely messing with that. So we'll give it a name. And then we'll do another one that's a text. And we'll call that age, probably noticing a pattern here, where the name matches up to the properties on our object. So I have that person, and I have the form. Now I'm going to simply link the two. So I take that JavaScript object, and I say, I want to link this to the form. I want these things to be linked together. And by default, that's going to do that name-based matchup. It's going to be more convention than anything else to come down and find the tags with the matching name and pop those up. Oops, I put that right in my table, didn't I? All right, so I've got my form there. Let's put a little, we'll put a little button. We'll do an on click. We'll do a show, and then I'll just create a little script up here. We'll show the person. And so we'll take that person object and we'll just just format that slightly. And we'll do that alert. All right. So we're just going to show that that backing object that we've got there. Oops. As we go. So let's go refresh our page now. Make that 37. Now, clearly, two things are wrong. For one, when I first rendered the page over there, when I first rendered those input fields, right, it didn't show the name and the age. And two, when I go out and show the person, it's not taking those changes. Right. Form.link. First name, age. And it should be. What's that? No, there is no ID on form. It should be finding it anyway. We could certainly do it that way, but no. Well, I have a typo somewhere. Yeah. Oh, yeah, put that in the... Thank you. See? You guys are the best IntelliSense there is. I don't need squiggly lines. So the point was, put that actually in the function, so the document on ready when the form will actually be there. Thank you. Then we link those together. Let me make sure. We're actually getting closer. It may not look like it. There we go. So now it comes back and it says, oh, well, that's Mike 37. So we can see the object actually got changed, but the UI didn't initially display that data. And part of that is because it's hooked up via binding. So let me, we'll copy this since I'm having so much fun with typos today. So you can kind of get a sense of how this works. So what I'm going to do is take that person object and I'm going to signal or trigger changes to the data. All right, that's how this data link library works, is it actually looks for changes on the object, it listens for changes on the inputs. So as we tab out of things, right, it picks up those changes. So I can manually come in and trigger these events and say, oh, well, the data has changed for the name property or the age property on here. All right, so now, when it renders, we link the two together, then we signal a change so that it knows it should go update the UI to reflect what's in the object. So we get the values in there now, and as we change those, right, then it comes back as 37, so it reflects in there. Now, another option would be, instead of triggering these changes, when I render the form, just use a template. Right. I can use that client-side template to render the form, and as I build the input, set the text to be the first name or the age or whatever it might be from the object that I want to initially render in there. So a couple different options there as you do the data linking. Now, just to kind of show you, you've seen how well I've been doing with syntax today. So rather than try and type this, right, you can see that it doesn't have to be that convention-based model where you have the input tags with the name that matches your object, for example. You can also set this up and do these links, and you can see here I'm providing some information about how to convert back and forth. And so I have on this particular page, I have the form, but I also have a couple of spans. And so I can take this span, link it to person, and then I can provide this mapping and say, oh, well, here's the name. All right, here's the name view. And then I have this kind of convert back function, right, where you might use this for different kinds of controls or other things where I have the ability to take a little more control over how that particular data, right, gets mapped out. So here I go in and set the text on the span. So here, same type of thing. But you can see over here, these are, every time that changes, these values change as well. Right? They're linked to the same object. I'm not tied to just having the object linked to one set of inputs. It can be linked to a variety of things on the page. As those changes occur and it detects those triggers or changes, it'll update all the different UI elements that are bound to that. So this is where we get into what you have today and what's coming tomorrow. Now, as you can see on the slides, for both the jQuery templates and the data link, I have this little bullet that these things are available. They're out on jQuery. Again, there you can get them through NuGet or other packages. They've been marked as beta since they were put out there, and that hasn't changed. And what's happening is that as people have used this, as they've had success with it, they've started combining it with other things, and they've found some room for improvement. One of the areas is the way the tags work. There are some collisions with other libraries. So the dollar sign curly brace is colliding with some other popular client libraries. The other is that while the model for the templates is really rich, it's also working with the DOM and attaching lots of objects to the DOM. And so it's not quite as well-performing as it could be. Right? They took a particular approach with it. It works. It works well. But if you start working with large amounts of data, then you may end up seeing some performance hits. And so what's happening today is much like we had the Ajax client library, and it became jQuery, and the jQuery, it became replaced by the jQuery. The Ajax client library didn't become jQuery. And they built these plugins, right? The plugins themselves were kind of separate from the core jQuery. And what's happening with jQuery right now is they're starting to build up the jQuery UI and all these other libraries and plugins, and they want to pull in the templating and the linking stuff into the core library and leverage it across a lot of the other libraries. So they're going to start, or they are working on, for example, jQuery grids, having something from the jQuery team built into the jQuery library to do grids or tables that are sortable and filterable and all that good stuff. Well, they want to leverage templates, and they want to leverage the binding for that. And in the current form, it has some limitations. And so they kind of put forth their ideas for what would happen with a grid, what the requirements were for a rich grid, and what that meant for the supporting libraries like templates and linking. And so based on that, the same people primarily a person at Microsoft, has been working on an update to the templating and the linking libraries. And JS Render is the library today that is kind of the new version of the templating. And so I want to show you a little bit today just so you can kind of see how similar they are, what some of the slight differences are. But the main difference is that JS Render is completely string-based. So rather than manipulating the DOM and inserting these elements, it's all based on building up strings of HTML and setting those into a particular element on the page. Right? So it becomes extremely fast and very quick to render out these templates. So if we go back to our simple style example where we have our collection of people, now in this particular project, so I have the same project copied over, and then I've added in, instead of the templates and data linking, I've added in JS Render, and the jQuery, the views, or the JS views. We've also got some other libraries that are coming in jQuery for observable and bind all. So these are kind of supporting libraries for a lot of the core pieces of the data binding, being able to monitor a particular object and see if it's changed. And so one of the differences, you'll see we still go grab our template, but instead of calling that template method, we simply call the HTML method against that, and we call a render method. So this is our container now. It's a little bit backwards. Now we're going to go down and find where do we want to put this data. We're going to set the HTML for that object. So instead of append to or manipulating the DOM now, we're setting the HTML. And then here we still go out and grab the template. But again, instead of calling template, we call render. Because it is, instead of manipulating the DOM, it's slightly different. It is going to go out and just render that data into a string that we can pass into the HTML method here. You'll notice also the syntax is slightly different. So instead of dollar sign curly brace, now we've got two curly braces and an equal sign. Again, trying to work with other libraries, other things that are out there to make sure that there aren't as many collisions, that it works well with JavaScript in general, jQuery, and also other libraries that are out there today. And so same ideas, right? We have the same kind of template here in script. We have the same ability to put that markup in, but really nothing nothing too different in there other than slight markup changes and slight changes to the way we call that. Now another slight difference is that by default, code isn't allowed inside these tags. Again, kind of the progression of making it safer, making it more secure, avoiding collisions. By default, we can't just put in our tag this format JSON date. And so what we do is on the views, we have the ability then to register these methods instead. So I can come in and register this helper method. Say, look, if somebody calls something called format date in the context of a template, then here's the function itself. So again, slightly different, same kind of ideas, same concepts that we'll be able to call out. We can extend essentially the language of the templates by extending this context object with these functions as we go. So that's JS Render. You'll notice there's a lot fewer tags. That's because we've got the standard tag, just to put out some data, put out one of our elements here for an expression or a field. And instead of having the HTML tag and the wrap and all those other things, we have the second tag here with the bang or the exclamation mark, where if you want to put out HTML, well, you wrap it in one of these, and instead of double curly braces at the end, you use this. And now you can put out those anchor tags or those image tags or other HTML markup inside your templates. We still have if and else. We still have each that work basically the same as you saw in the other items. Now, JS Views is kind of the successor to the data link, but goes beyond that really to provide a much richer model for describing the views and for hooking that stuff up. You still have the ability to call the link method and link things together, but as you can see there in the line of code, they also have this declarative binding syntax. And this is where you really see kind of the rendering or the templating and the linking coming together, because now I can go and render that template, and as I do so, just using these attributes on the items, I can indicate how I want them bound to the objects that are being rendered. So I have this data from and data to tag on here that tell the rendering engine and the views engine, hey, for this input tag, right, the data should come from this particular field or property, this expression on the item. And if this input changes, this is where the data should be written to. And they don't have to be the same place. Right? So I get some flexibility now in having this object that's being rendered. It's going to be rendered into this view. It's going to be automatically bound. And I can have the data, you know, pulled from one place and written to another place. So if we come out, for example, and look at our reviews, you can see the if tag, one slight difference. We have the hash mark. But the if tag works the same way. Right? We put those items in there in the reviews. Oh, I wanted to be in the linking. There we go. So you can see what I'm going to do here is, this is my rendering of those reviews. So the thumbs up, thumbs down, the person's name, and their comments. And so in my template, I can do just the standard templating. So I have a div here. I want to give it an ID so I can refer to it in script. So I can use that just templating or rendering syntax to put the ID in there along with a class. But then for this span, notice I set the data get from to reviewer. So I'm indicating when you render this, when you render this span, go get the data from the reviewer property on that object and render it in here in this span. Now, because it's a span, I don't have a data to. Doesn't make sense. You're not going to, you know, edit the span. The user's not going to change it. So I don't need to worry about having that written back somewhere. As we go down to the editor template where I have inputs, right, now I have data get from the ID, oops, and data to. So I have the data get from reviewer, data to reviewer, right, where as we go and make changes to these values, they're going to get written back to the original object that was used to render it. And since we're going to use these same items here, right, in both places, we should see those changes take effect. So let me close this old window. So we still have that, you know, server-rendered set of movies. When we click on it, now we've used JS Render along with JS Views to generate this this list over here. And then as I click on one, I get the editor for that. And when I change it, you can see that it changes up here. Change it to not good. Those things. Right. Those things change. Those things that are displayed are updated in real time. Right. So again, we use these this model of attributes. So what you're seeing with JS Render and JS Views is kind of an embrace of the more current thinking on JavaScript, on jQuery. You're going to see a lot of libraries using these data tags. A lot of the jQuery mobile stuff uses these data tags on items to indicate where the data should come from or how they should be rendered. So it's fitting in very nicely with a lot of the more modern libraries and excuse me, and leveraging those kinds of syntax for doing these things. Now, again, when we do the data get from, remember, for my image, right, now I had to render that as this template, as this view, and so I didn't have the if stuff didn't work quite as well because I could do an if in here, and that would render originally, right? But it wasn't really working quite right, and so I wanted to use this data get from model. Well, on the span, right, data get from just works because it sets the text or the inner part of the span tag. For the image tag, though, I actually needed to set a particular attribute. I wanted to set the source, not the body of the tag. And so I can use the data get from, and then I have this source colon, and then where do I want to get the data from? So it could be, right, that you just simply want to refer to a property, but in this case, I needed to look at the rating for this thing and go back and figure out, based on that, do I give it the thumbs up image source or the thumbs down? So I can get at the view right inside of my template. I can get at the data for that view. I can get at the index. So if I'm iterating over things, I can get at the index. In this case, I grab the rating from the data and passed it into a JavaScript function that gives me back the right methods. So that's going to allow me to bind those things together. It's going to allow me to do that in a much simpler fashion, right? And also a much more explicit fashion. I'm not tied to the name of the input tags matching the name of the objects. I'm not tied to that model. I've very explicitly set out, here's where the data comes from, here's where the data goes to. And that allows me to very easily combine the templates with the views or the binding so that as the templating engine or the rendering piece goes through this template, right, it knows the data get from and the data and where to pull that data initially. And then the templating renders it, and the views model sits on top of that then and knows how to keep those things bound together and work with those things. So we're at kind of a weird point right now because we have the jQuery templates and the data linking that are available today. But if you go out to jQuery, they're one, still marked as beta. So many things today get put out in beta and just stay there forever. Companies don't like to commit and say, yes, it's ready. So it's still in beta. And those, again, you can go out and use today. They're in use by some large sites. They work very well. Right? But what you'll find if you go look at the jQuery site is they're not going to do any further development on those, right? Because they're switching to JS Render and JS Views. Unfortunately, JS Render and JS Views aren't even yet quite to the beta, although I'm told that probably by the end of this month, at least JS Render will be at a beta stage. So my guidance to you is take a look at these. Right? If you're looking today at leveraging this in an application, take a look at the jQuery templates and the data linking. Of the two, the jQuery templates is really probably the more mature, the more tested, the more widely used. But you can try that out, work with that. If you use those the external templates, it's very easy to go back and modify later. If you have a project that's getting started or that's going to be out later, then you may take a look at JS Render and JS Views and kind of keep an eye on the progress. As I said, within a couple of weeks, at least JS Render, I understand, should be at a beta stage where you'd feel a lot better using that. I haven't had too many issues with JS Render as it stands today, so it's not necessarily stable or doesn't work, but there will be some changes as it moves to beta in terms of syntax, in terms of the way some of these things work as they do more testing with core jQuery libraries, as they do more testing with third-party libraries as well to make sure there aren't any conflicts, and just based on feedback, kind of improving the experience of doing the you know, doing the rendering, doing the views, and the linking of those things. So hopefully that gives you a sense of what's available in terms of the templating, the binding for the client, from at least from the jQuery team. I will say there are other templating libraries out there, many of them working in much the same way. So if you look at this and say, well, it's pretty close, it doesn't do exactly what I want, there are some other templating libraries out there that you may want to look at as well. And the other thing I'll say is if you want to go a step further, templating is kind of, for me, the first step of rendering that content. If you want to go a step further than just templating and the binding separately and do a full MVVM model, then you may want to look at something like a knockout JS, right? A library that can leverage these templates for its rendering, but also provides a whole kind of model view model paradigm for the libraries in JavaScript and doing JavaScript development, allowing you to have observable collections and observable items and things like that. So something that has been built and is out there today is going to look similar to the JS render and JS views. They've taken some slightly divergent approaches on some things, but they'll both kind of get you there in terms of data binding and templating. So with that, I'll open it up for any questions that you might have before we wrap up. That's a good question. So the question was about the globalization plugin. I haven't followed that one as closely as the data linking and templates, so I'm not really sure if they've moved that one forward from the beta phase. I haven't seen anything similar about phasing it out for something else, but I don't know for sure if they're moving that one forward or what their time frame is for that one. I can't see way in the back, so if there's any hands up, you just have to shout. No questions. It was either really good or really bad, or somewhere in between. Again, I don't need you to tell me. All right, well, thank you. Again, I hope that was helpful. Feel free to check those things out. If anybody does have questions you don't want to shout out, I'll be down here. And thanks for coming. Enjoy the rest of Tech Days.